Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so good. Amen. A week ago today, after in the afternoon, got a call, and Gary Clark was in Trinity, and we were there when they life-flighted him to Columbus, and he's here today. Give the Lord a hand for that. Give the Lord a hand, Gary. Nancy, I got scriptures for you before you leave, but you know, we're just so thankful, and we're thankful that you're back. And God is so good. Listen, we're on call 24/7. All you got to do is call us, and we'll be there and try to help you. But what an honor it is today, and to honor mothers across the nation. And so I'm going to talk about mothers a little bit this morning. And someone once said, "Life doesn't come with a manual; it comes with a mother." Life doesn't come with a it comes with a mother. Well, this is the manual we all go by, but, you know, God uses mothers. And a mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. Amen? No one can take the place of a mother. And actually, motherhood is the greatest thing and the hardest thing, especially when you have teenagers. And, you know, they think they know a little bit more than their mothers and fathers, and you know, so I see one sitting up here, he's smiling, his face is getting a little red, but that's why I wanted these teenagers out here today, because they need to honor their mothers. You know, when Paul addressed Timothy about the last days, one of the things that Paul said would happen was disobedient to parents. Amen. And that's a problem in our nation today, disobedient to parents. And I believe what the Word says, if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. Come on. Spare the rod, we're going to spoil the... But there's no role in life that's more essential than motherhood, seriously. It's a fact that more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. More phone calls are made. It's just, I studied it out. And Mother's Day is the third highest selling holiday for cards, flowers, and plants. I not only had to buy plants, I had to plant them in the ground yesterday. So, you know, I was on the end of some post hole diggers, you know. So it was all good. Amen. Normally, Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for restaurants. You know, your mother shouldn't have to cook today unless she wants to. Come on. I said she shouldn't have to cook today unless she wants to. Amen. You may not be a mother, but you came to this world through a mother. Everyone under the sound of my voice had to come through the world, through a mother, into the world. Job 31:15, look what it says. Did not he that made me in the womb make him? Did not one fashion us in the womb? That's where you were made, and that's where you were fashioned, in your mother's womb. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that, amen. It's in our mother's womb is where we all started life. I remember years ago when certain ones were running for president, and they asked him when life began. And I remember one of them said that was above his pay grade. But thank God the other one had enough sense to say that life begins in a mother's womb. Come on. Life begins in a mother's womb. That's where it begins. Amen. The first Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. So you West Virginians, give the Lord a hand. That's where Mother's Day started, in the state of West Virginia. I'm not sure it's almost heaven over there. I was good to go down to 77 and go through all the toll pikes. And I always ask them, I say, you know, every time I stop here to pay you guys, it says almost heaven. I said, I haven't seen any heaven yet. Where's it at? Amen. I think heaven's going to be a lot nicer than West Virginia. But she was a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War. Think about that. She created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Anna wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work she started and to set aside a day to honor all the mothers, because she believed a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone else in the world. And we can attest to that. That's true. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, and now it's recognized all over the world. And that's why, mothers, we want to honor you today. Amen. Actually, honoring our mothers is a command from God. It's not an option. It's a command. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord gives you. Honor your father and your mother. It is a command, not an option. And see, God's word links longevity with honoring your mother. And as I was praying about this and working out here all week and just meditating, and I'll be riding down the road and I'll be preaching and in the shower preaching and everywhere else preaching. And the Lord told me there's two things that will take place here today. Number one, we're going to show you two God-fearing mothers in the Bible. Number two, it's going to be a good opportunity to forgive your mother if she wasn't a good mother. Come on, a good opportunity to forgive your mother. Some of you have been harboring bitterness for years because of the way your mother treated you. And I realize that having a baby doesn't make you a mother. But listen, all that's doing is affecting you. So it's a good opportunity this morning, if you never had a good mother, to just lay it at the altar. Amen? And to ask God to help you to forgive her. And so I've seen that a lot. And so, amen. Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived, mentions mothers quite often in his writings. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, my son, hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. Teenagers, your mother lays the law down for a reason. She lays it, and listen to me, honor her at least today by cleaning up your bedroom. Huh? She washes your nasty underwear. She washes your clothes. She gets you ready for school. Help me out a little bit. Come on. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Boy, this poor kid up here, he's getting hammered today. I'm telling you. He's like, Pastor Jeff, shut up. You're reading my mail here. You know? Well, we need to hear that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3. He said, I was my father's son, but tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Because his dad was a warrior. And it's the mothers who are really tender. Like when a kid falls down and gets a scratch, dad says, oh, he'll be all right. I'll let him be alone. And what do? They cry and they run to mama. And mama goes, oh, it'll be all right. We'll put a Band-Aid on. It'll be all right. Amen? You know the story there. Thank God for mothers and their tenderness. And we're just giving you a few today. We picked out Proverbs 6, 20 through 22 says this. My son, keep your father's commandments and don't forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. When you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. And when you wake, it shall talk with you. Amen? That's the things that, some of us now still remember things that our mothers put in us when we were children. Amen? Amen. At least we should, some of us. And I was thinking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and, it doesn't really mention Paul's biological mother, but there were some mothers in the Bible that made a big impact on him. And I thought about this. A godly mother is never forgotten, even if she isn't your own mother. I talked years ago about Anna May, and Joe and Sherry knew who that is. We were little kids, and we'd be out the road, and she's gone on to be with the Lord, and Herb's gone on to be with the Lord. But we were little kids, teenagers, rather. We were teenagers. We'd go out and help them butcher a bull every year. We was at the house on a Saturday night getting ready to go out drinking. That's what we did. We'd go camping and buy beer and all that, and she was there getting color pages ready for the Sunday school the next day, and she would just witness to us kids, and man, she always had a big smile on her face talking about us going to church and I thought about the impact that she made on my life, amen. Even though she wasn't my regular mother, she was a God-fearing mother, and when. Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Paul said, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And the Amplified says, Paul said, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Amen. So she had made a big impact on Paul's life when he needed a mother. And but he made mention of mothers that was that made a big impression on him, you know, while he was walking this planet called Earth. And you know, and some of you can think of some mothers that probably made an impression on you when you were a kid. Amen. And those things, they never forget. When Paul was writing the second letter to Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the first five verses here, look what he says here. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance. Now listen, he remembered these things. I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, he remembered this, the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in you also. He remembered the faith in Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Amen? He never mentions Timothy's father or grandfather. Come on, he just doesn't. Amen, because most of the time it's the mother, come on, that instills faith in these kids. I've seen it for years. The mother will drag the kids to church. They'll come even when the husbands don't want to. And some of you husbands are here today because of your wife. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. I know it to be true. It was Timothy's mother that spent hours with Timothy teaching him the word, teaching him faith that was taught to her by her mother. And I feel like that's awesome. That's why he ended up in the ministry, becoming a young pastor. And actually in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in the first two verses, he said, don't rebuke an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. He said, treat all the older women as mothers. And he said, what he was saying is we need to give the mothers the respect that they're due, and that's what we're doing here today. Come on, they deserve all of our respect. Amen. Give them the love and respect that they need and deserve. Proverbs 23:22. Did I give you that scripture? Maybe I didn't. Yeah. Hearken unto your father that begot you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Ashley Kuntz hit a good point here about some of the mothers in the nursing home, and I've seen it. Some people put their mothers there and never, never, never visit them. And I'm thankful for the ones like the Gullies who were faithfully at the nursing home every week to visit Ella May till she went home to be with the Lord. Amen. Don't forget your mother when she's old. Amen. Amen. If she's not able to be here today, at least give her a call. She might live somewhere else. Don't forget her. And I know that in this church, there's a lot of people, amen, honoring their mothers. 92? She'll be 92. Bonnie Gill, come on, give the Lord a hand. And they're going to honor her today. Man, she's got the bling on. I'll tell you, you're the best-looking mother here today, man. She's got bling everywhere. Praise God forever. But they honor her every week. They haven't forgot her. And they take really good care of her. And her daughter Bonnie takes care of her at the house. And it's a blessing to see people not to forget their mother when they're old. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Paul understood that God made mothers special. Mothers are more sympathetic and sensitive to their children than dads are. We already talked about that. Mothers instill characteristics in their children that no one else can do. They spend the most time with them. Every time a camera is put on an athlete on television during a live sports event, the athletes always say, "Hi, Mom." It's never "Hi, Dad." It's always "Hi, Mom." Because the mothers is the ones that drag them all to practice and drag them to school and drag them everywhere. I know there's a lot of kids in this church that have had drug problems. Their parents drug them to church every Sunday. Come on. They drug them to church every Sunday, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Amen? It's the mothers who take the responsibility for providing for their children, even when their dads won't. I know several families where the dad made the baby, took off, and never saw him again. And thank God for those young men that come along and adopt that baby. Come on, and they raise them, come on, as their own. Thank God for that. It's the mothers. It's the mothers who stay up late at night till the teenage son or daughter gets home while the father's laying there snoring. Are they home yet? Shut up and get back to sleep. It's the mothers, because they carried those babies for 9 months in the womb. Amen. The Bible speaks of many mothers who were women of faith. And I want to talk about two different women this morning. And the Bible doesn't even mention their name, but there's only one name that's important in the Bible, and that's the name of Jesus. Come on, because there's no other name under heaven by which you can get saved. And I want to talk about two different women. One of them, Jesus said that she had great faith. You know, Jesus only spoke of great faith two times during his ministry, and one was in reference to a mother who was concerned about her daughter because she was possessed with the devil. The Bible mentions nothing about the little girl's father. And this woman came from the area of Tyre and Sidon, north of Galilee, and there were notoriously ungodly cities, and people who lived there were Gentiles, and the Jews had nothing to do with them and referred to them actually as dogs. And I want to talk about her for a few moments, because she lived at the same time that Jesus lived. Then we're going to talk about another woman, a Shunammite woman that was honored God almost 900 years before the birth of Christ. And listen, there's been women in the Bible that's been honoring God since. Come on, help! Eve started it all out, right? Eve started it all out. This woman knew here that Jesus was the only one that could help her daughter. And he knew she was going to be criticized. She was going to be told to get away. She knew she wasn't even worthy to come to Jesus, but she was such a good mother. She understood that if she went to Jesus, she would still be humiliated and criticized by the Jews, but her love for her daughter overrode her own personal feelings. How many mothers override their own personal feelings for the love of their kids? Come on. And there are places in the world, today that aren't as blessed as we are. And that's why we have a wonderful military, because we're going to keep that American flag flying high where we can be free. There are places in the world that people wake up and the mothers have one or two choices, either to eat breakfast for themselves or give it to their child. And they give it to their children, and they go without because of the love for their children. Now, that's a good mother right there. Amen. I mean, thank God for we have that opportunity in America, come on, to honor our mothers and to bless our mothers and not put them in that kind of position to be in. Matthew chapter 15. Are you getting anything out of this today? Come on. Man, you ought to be more like that, right? Men ought to be more like that, and we're working on it. And, you know, I'm working on being a better dad and a better granddad. And, you know, we keep Emmy a lot. We've got a big playpen, and I'll do anything for her but change a diaper. I will not touch a diaper. Mary, can you check her? I think she... Yeah, I know she... Okay, well, I love you, honey, baby. You got to get that diaper changed. If you come here early enough... Little Emmy, she's just worshiping God. She just, I mean, praise God. And, I mean, just thank God for God-fearing mothers and grandmothers. Come on, grandmothers help out a bunch. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28 describes this mother. And then Jesus went and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And man, she knew that they were going to hammer her and humiliate her. He did not answer her a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She's crying after us. Get her out of here. She's not a Jew. Get her out of here." Thank God that when Peter went to Cornelius' house, racism was broken right there and taken care of right there in the Bible. Come on. Thank God for that. Amen. She sent her away, they said. And he answered and said, I am not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. Lord, help me. Now listen here. Jesus basically called her a dog. Jesus did that? Yeah, so if I call you a dog, no, it's scriptural, all right? No, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. He did this to test her faith. Because she understood that the Jews already referred to her bunch as dogs because they weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. And she said, that's the truth, Lord. She said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, I might not be worthy to get my daughter healed. Huh, you might call me a dog, but I'm still going to honor you as my master. Come on. My daughter needs a miracle. Come on. She could have stormed out of there right then and not seen her daughter get set free. Praise the Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Then Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Come on, give the Lord a hand. What a mother. Amen. She humbled herself and did what it took to get her daughter delivered. She didn't quit. Amen. She didn't quit. You ever see the movie Miracles from Heaven when that little girl started having problems? And the only doctor that could help her was in Cleveland Clinic, and there was a waiting list, but she flew out there anyway, and she kept going out there every day and every day and every day till they finally got time, and they finally worked her in and helped her daughter. That's the kind of mother that we're talking about. Amen. This mother wasn't even a Jew, knew she didn't deserve anything, but Jesus referred to her as a woman of great faith, or you could say a mother that had great faith. Come on, we need more mothers like that, and we have them around here. Amen. And I want to talk about one more mother this morning. In the book of 2 Kings, we find another woman of faith. She was a Shunammite woman who honored God with her finances. She was a God-fearing woman. She also honored God by having a prophet's chamber built onto her house for the prophet Elisha to stay in while he passed through town. But at that time, she was not a mother. Let me just say this. When you honor God, he'll honor you. Come on, help me out a little bit. When you honor God, he'll honor you. If you honor God, it might not be when you want it, but listen. When it happens, it'll happen big for you. Come on, come on. Don't ever give up on your miracle. Like Mary said, don't ever give up on your children. Come on, don't ever give up on them, no matter how old they are. Amen. But 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to read verse 8 through 19. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman. You know, the Bible calls her a great woman. She was a great lady, but it doesn't mention her name. Amen. She constrained him to eat bread. In other words, when he came through town, he went to her house and she fed him. I remember back when I was an evangelist, I traveled for about 9 years, and I was at a bunch of different churches, stayed in a bunch of different motels, stayed in a bunch of people's homes, and man, did they feed me good. Oh, my goodness. I remember this place in Coldwater, Michigan, where I would stay. They were farmers. And up there they had a Kellogg's plant, and they would take an end loader and take all the Kellogg's cereal. And there was defective or whatever, and they would feed it to the cattle. And I'll never forget the taste of that steak. Oh, my goodness gracious. And God blessed them because every year I went there, they made me stay at their house. They fed me good, and they sent me home with a cooler full of beef. Praise God. And I watched how God blessed that family for blessing me. Amen. And she, verse 8, it fell on a day that he passed there, and she constrained him, made him eat, and so it was every often as he passed by, he turned to her house to eat bread. He was a smart guy, wasn't he? And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, so when he comes by, he can come and he can have a place to stay. And it fell on the day that he came, verse 11, and he turned into the chamber and he was laying there. He was laying there looking at the beautiful place that she had her husband built for him. Now, let me tell you something. Back in the day, the prophets are the one that God used to speak to people. Amen? Now we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been so good to us with all this care. You feed us. You build us a place to stay. What is it to be done for you? What would be spoken to the... You want me to say something to the king to get you something, or the captain of the host? And she answered and said, I dwell among my own people. She didn't want no favors from the king. She was a blessed woman. So I don't want nothing. And he said, what then could be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, verily she has no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her in here. And when he called her in, she stood at the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. God's going to bless you for blessing me. She said, oh, no, Lord, thou man of God. Don't lie to your handmaid. Don't tell me all that if it's not true. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the field. Verse 19. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And look what he said. Take him to his mother. Dad, I'm having migraines. Here he is helping his dad in the field, bringing in the harvest. Dad, take him to his mother. Come on, guys, help me out a little bit. You know better. You're going to get him and pray for him, right? Amen. He should have prayed for his son right there, but take him to his mother. Yeah, I don't care, whatever. You know, and that's what he said. Take him to his mother. Amen. Think about that. Out in his field, migraine headaches, went to his daddy for help, couldn't even walk, and the fathers said to the workers, take him to his mother. So many fathers today. Amen. Verse 20, when he had taken him in, he brought him to his mother and sat her on her knees until noon, and then he died. Think about that. It was devastating. It doesn't record what his mother was saying to the son while he sat on her knees, but by her character, I can imagine what she was saying. Son, you're my miracle baby. God gave you to me, and I'm not going to let the devil steal you from me. I can just about hear what she was saying because she was a God-fearing woman. In the meantime, his dad never even left the plow. And I want you to see something in the next three verses, 21 through 23. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me, I pray, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, why are you going to him today? It's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath day. It's not Sunday. Isn't that just like a whole lot of daddies? Amen. She sent somebody out to the field to tell her husband she needed some transportation, and he never even asked how his son was doing. Listen, fathers, I'm not bashing you. I'm giving credit to this mother. Come on. Come on. We're honoring our mothers today, right? This is a wonderful story. It's not the Sabbath, but look at the faith that came out of her mouth. Look at verse 23. He said again, why are you going to him today? It's not the noon, the Sabbath, and look what she said. It shall be well. Come on, that's all she said. It shall be well. She didn't talk about the problem. She talked about the answer. She didn't cry and bawl and say, our son's dead, and oh God, you know, you give me a son. Are you listening to me? She had enough faith in God. Come on, help me out. Don't ever, 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 don't ever, ever, ever lose your faith in God, especially for one of your children. Keep the faith. Amen. Keep the faith. It shall be well. And let's read on here. She saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Don't slack up, except I tell you to. And she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, hey, there's that Shunammite. Run now, and I pray, meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? She answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me what's going on. Listen, she bypassed the servant and went straight to the man himself. Come on. Sometimes you need to bypass people and go to God himself. Come on. Too many times we go to this one, we go to that one, and we need to go to God himself. Because he's the only one, many times, that can help us. Praise God. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, don't even take time to salute him. If any salute you, don't say nothing. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I don't want your servant. I want you to come. Amen. Went to the man of God himself. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Kind of sounds like Jairus' daughter when Jesus went in. And she had died, and he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. He went in, therefore, Elisha, verse 33, shut the door upon him and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon the child's mouth, his eyes upon the child's eyes, his hands upon his hands, stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Come on, give the Lord a hand. This is a true story here. The faith of a God-fearing mother. And then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and he opened up his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. Don't even mention her name, it doesn't matter. So he called her. And when she came into the house, he said, take up thy son. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Come on, give the Lord a hand. She was not going to stop. Here was a mother that loved her son so much, she wouldn't stop till she got a hold of God through the prophet Elisha. Verse 26, she told Gehazi, it's well. It's going to be all right. I'm going to get the man of God. Everything's going to be fine. Man, that's the kind of faith that we need to have concerning our kids. Amen. Amen. I look down here, and I remember when Hunter was born and got a call from his mother crying that he had some problems, was having seizures. And I said, we'll be over there. And they come, the life flooded him, and we remember we laid hands on him, and a praying mother. And they were getting all these bad reports. He would never do this. He would not be able to do that. I remember those reports. But Pam bypassed those reports, went to Jesus. And look at Hunter today. That boy runs miles and miles every day. Matter of fact, on August 8th, I'm going to unite him with he and his fiance. Give the Lord a hand. Because of praying mothers. I believe in my heart, if his family didn't go to church, he probably wouldn't have made it. He'd have probably died. Many people die because they don't have the word of God. They don't have faithful parents and faithful mothers. Amen. This woman wasn't going to settle for Elisha's servant. She went straight to the man of God himself, didn't give up until her son's life was restored. You talk about a God-fearing mother. All her husband did was plant the seed, but she's the one that carried him in her womb. Come on. She's the one that took care of him. Amen. Amen. And God sanctifies us while we're in our mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. When did he do that? Before he came out of the mother's womb. And God designed for everyone on planet Earth to be formed in a mother's womb. That's what makes mothers so special. Regardless of their age, they still need to hear the words, I love you, Mom. They still need to hear it. And as an example for us, everything in this book is written as an example for us. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the last things he did was tell John to take care of his mother. John 19, verse 25 through 27. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and his disciple standing by, whom he loved, which is John, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son, talking about John. And then he said to John, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. Think about that for a minute. Jesus knew he was leaving, and John took Mary to his house, and she lived with him, took care of her. Amen. To his own house. She raised Jesus from birth. She followed him all the way to the cross, 33 years of age. A mother will always be a mother to their children, regardless of their age. Come on. Regardless of their age. Amen. Amen. When God spoke through the prophet Isaiah concerning Jerusalem, look what he said in Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As one who, in other words, I'm going to comfort you as like a mother comforts their children. Amen. That's good stuff. God created mothers. God sent his only son into the world through a mother. He told Satan in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman who is a mother will bruise your head. Now, I want to give you just a little revelation knowledge here before we close, and hopefully you'll take your mothers out, your wives, and bless them. Jesus, in order to come to the earth to take our place, had to legally come through a mother. That's the only way he could come here legally, is through a mother. The reason that every believer has authority over Satan is because he came to the earth illegally. He has no birth certificate. He wasn't born of a mother. He's an illegal alien. That's why we need to enforce what ICE enforces. When Satan comes, get rid of him. He's illegal. Amen. Don't let an illegal alien mess with you. He does not have a birth certificate. He's here by deception. He deceived Adam and Eve by getting them to doubt what God had really said. He's the God of this world system through deception. That's why we as believers have authority over him. Has God really said, you shall not surely die? Is that what God really said? He uses the same tactics today. No one, listen closely, no one can go to heaven unless they had a mother. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? That's where we get Nick at night from. Look what he said in John 3, 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Everyone in heaven that you meet had to come here through a mother. What about the angels? They're created spirits. Amen? They're created beings. Amen. You see the importance of mothers here. If you had a good mother, be thankful. Be thankful. If your mother's still alive, honor her today, even if it's just a phone call saying, Mom, I love you. If you've been bitter against your mom for years, it's a great time for forgiveness, because you wouldn't be here this morning without your mother. The Bible says the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Every one of you here came from the fruit of the womb, not fruit of the loom. fruit of the womb. So when you see those Fruit of the Loom commercials, think about you came from the fruit of the womb and call your mama. I want to talk about, leave one more scripture for the teenagers, okay? Is that all right? Get that one right there on my ball, man. He come up here. Don't take your mothers for granted, teenagers. Don't take them for granted. Don't ever take them for granted. Obey what she tells you to do. It's a command from God. Amen. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I don't care if they're wrong, you still need to obey them. They're human beings. Are you listening to me? Next verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the first promise about that? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So teenagers, you want to live long and have a good life, honor your mother. Do what they tell you to do. Amen? Amen. Did you learn anything today? Did you get inspired today? I was hoping to get you out. It's 12:05, 5 minutes. I want to give you time to get to the restaurants or cook for your mother or whatever. I can't believe Todd Hines allowed his wife to cook today for all those people coming over. Can you believe that? Todd, I'm going to counsel you after. She said, she wanted to do it. Tell her about it. She's going to get ready. Amen. Oh, we love you, Uncle Todd. Hey, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for the mothers. Hallelujah. God-fearing mothers. And Lord, this morning, I want to thank you for two biblical examples of God-fearing mothers. And Lord, I know we're all human beings. We all fall short. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I want to thank you, Lord, that for these mothers that still keep trying and still keep trying and still keep doing what they know to do. And I just pray this morning, like I said, if there's one here that's been bitter against their mother, that they'll forgive today. And we're careful to give you the praise and the glory for everything you've done, God, and everything you're going to continue to do in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.